Hi, everyone. This is meant to just be a five-minute talk, but we'll have a little panel afterwards. So these are all the slides I prepared. So we represent the SVG Working Group, and there's a few more people in the SVG Working Group, but we are several of them. And we heard a lot of people talking about various parts of SVG that they have in their open source implementations, and we wanted to clarify where we are as a standards body, as a group, where we plan on leading SVG and where we plan on helping you help us lead SVG. So, news and plans. And this slideshow, of course, is in SVG, naturally, and JavaScript in a browser. So, has anyone here been living under a rock for the last year or so? Okay, a few of you. Excellent. So, SVG, the first browser implementation, native browser implementation, was in Opera, of course, and then Firefox followed soon after that, and then WebKit with both Safari and Chrome followed after that. Obviously, Adobe SVG Reader was probably the first sort of complete SVG implementation, but in terms of browsers, this is where we stand. And it's also on proprietary evil mobile devices like the iPod, and it even has both declarative and scripting, not the iPod, although it's on the iPod Touch. Yeah, it's on the iPod Touch, but it's on the iPhone, where some other standards or formats aren't. And there was a big problem, though, because there was an elephant in the room, which none of you use, but some people out there use, and that was Internet Explorer. And as of a few months ago, they announced that indeed SVG will be an Internet Explorer 9, hardware accelerated, no less. So that came as a surprise to some of us. So SVG 1.2. We just completed SVG Tiny 1.2 last year.
Yep.
Yeah. December. Yeah, in December of 2009.
Yep.
Yeah. And so that's sort of the mobile implementation of SVG. In the time that between when SVG Tiny 1.2 started and when SVG Tiny 1.2 ended, it had been like 5 or 6 years, and of course mobile browsers were all capable of doing SVG full 1.1 at that point. So SVG 1.2 full is dead. You guys don't have to talk about SVG 1.2 at all with regards to your standards. What you should be concentrating on is moving forward from here. Why is it dead? Because it had a lot of outdated use case and requirements. Things that where SVG is sort of a standalone thing rather than being something integrated into sort of the web platform and taking advantage of the new APIs. And so the new context would be obviously HTML, 5 and CSS and Canvas all have these graphical aspects to them that we're working with, that SVG needs to be reevaluated in terms of what you can do in browsers today. So also there's a lot of script APIs that were planned for SVG 1.2 full, and we've moved those into different groups, and we've started new groups with things we didn't plan on doing in SVG at all. So there's a lot of new script APIs that the browser are helping to move forward. So, and we've also got a different constituency of the group. Before it was, we didn't have the browser vendors involved, and now we do. We have all the browser vendors involved. And what we're starting to get more authoring tool vendors involved. Adobe is recommitted to SVG in terms of their authoring environment. There was Kevin Lynch, their CTO, actually demonstrated some SVG authoring in the keynote of Google I/O a couple of weeks ago. That was pretty cool. But there's another authoring tool that really needs to really have representation on the SVG working group, and that is Inkscape. So get off your butts, you slackers, and join the SVG working group. It's free. So SVG 2 is what we should be talking about. I heard some of you talking about SVG 1.2 when this feature of SVG 2. Some of those features have been folded in, but we also have new goals. So Let's see. So again, we want to integrate more closely with HTML5 and other stuff that's going on at W3C and other places. We are going to break the spec down into a core specification that's interoperably implemented among browsers and authoring tools. And then we're also going to have supplementary modules. So some of the stuff that was in SVG 1.1 full might make it into a module. Part of that is like filters, for example. We're not getting rid of filters. We're moving them into a spec where CSS, so you can use filters, SVG filters, in HTML as well, right? So we're moving filters, animation, transforms. So we have this new group called the FX Task Force, and that's a joint group with the CSS working group. And so we're working on gradients, transforms, animation, things that are sort of joint things that all web developers should be using, not just those who are using SVG, although we all know all web developers should be using SVG. So, and we're also putting a really a strong new focus on testing interoperability, because right now people are a little bit concerned about where they can use what feature of SVG, and we're going to end that by having much more complete test suites and much better interoperability between browsers. So that comes part of that comes down to participation. We need developers from Inkscape and other tools. I already mentioned that. And we need designer use cases and requirements. We're not asking to completely reinvent SVG, but we are really interested in what people are using it for today, where they see gaps, and where they can use it tomorrow. So how do you participate? Take part in the W3C process. We're a public working group. There's a mailing list, which is www.svg.org. You can follow us on Twitter or Identica. And we also have a blog, which we don't update very often, but we're trying to be better about getting news out there. So, and we're also obviously here. So here we have Eric Dahlstrom. Jonathan Watt from Mozilla is not here today. He'll probably be here. He was here before. He'll probably be here tomorrow. Anthony Grasso from Canon. Patrick Dingler from Microsoft. He had a back injury, so he's not here today, but he's hoping to show up tomorrow. Leonard from Rosenthal from Adobe. Chris Lilly, W3C, we all know Chris, and Doug Shepherds, that's me. So, and we're also, we're starting a new thing called an open face-to-face day. So we have face-to-face meetings to talk about, to just basically get together and solve issues, and we find them really productive, in addition to the teleconferences that we do. So we're actually having one. I mentioned it on the create list, but I've been very busy and I didn't organize it very well. But if anybody's still here on Monday, you can come to our face-to-face meeting and just see how the committee, how the working group actually works. And so that's on Monday, and you can just contact me or Chris, and we can help you organize that. We're also going to be at SVG Open. We're going to do the same thing. And so we're thinking about having this. Sorry? I'm getting to that. and so we're thinking about having like the open face-to-face day as a regular feature of the SVG face-to-face meetings when we co-locate with meetings like we did with LGM, so with conferences like LGM, so that the public can actually get more involved directly, our users. So here there are a few events that you should be aware of. So SVG Open is late August to September 1st in Paris, and we will again be having a face-to-face meeting there. This was supposed to be just my talk, so I'm going to hog the slide. So I'm doing Web Directions is a conference in London, and I'm going to be speaking on SVG there from June 8th to 11th in London. And this was not quite announced yet. It's going to be announced in a couple of days. There's a contest for any of you who are developer designers who make web content. The Web Directions conference series, along with Microsoft, is having a contest to make a progress slider. So, a progress bar, a spinner, that sort of thing. And you can, if you look for the No Bit Sherlock contest, you should find it. And it ends June 11th, and you can get a Vio notebook, you can Xbox 360, Lego Mindstorms, which is pretty cool. And also other software, or other hardware like Lego and Meccano. I'm almost done, and this is an example of a slider. That's the sort of thing, or not slider, of a progress bar, and that's the sort of thing, but much prettier than that we're looking for. And now this, I followed a link, and I don't know how to go back. How do I go back on this browser?
Backspace.
Alt tab?
Backspace key.
No, arrow doesn't do it. Alt? I don't have alt. Alt.
Option.
Alt, option left. That's me. That's what I do. I do that.
That works.
Yay. Okay. And finally, this has nothing to do with SVG, but it does have to do with awesomeness. Some of you may have attention in an earlier session about some audio things, and there was a Mozilla community project to put audio control in the browser, including audio synthesis. And so I found these guys, and I was like, "Whoa, we have to have that W3C." So we created an audio incubator group that's also a public group, and that's just open for musicians, sound engineers, users, anybody who has some stake in the state of web audio. Is going to do this. And I don't know if this is going to work in here, in this browser. No, this is not the build. No, it's broken. This only works in a special... There's a special build of Mozilla that actually has an audio API, and I have this... If you go to my blog, you can actually see this working with this special build, and it tells you where to download it. But it plays music. It's generated, synthesized music in the browser. We don't need to go through that. Okay, so that's me. And this is Chris. So if you're interested in participating in the SVG working group, contact one of us, and we can put you in touch with the right sort of, we can put you on the right track. That's all said. Thank you for your attention. And now I'm going to reintroduce these guys, or let these guys introduce themselves. And if you guys have any questions for the SVG working group, like what our next plans are, things like that, then lay in.
What do you want me to do? Reintroduce myself again?
Yeah.
I'm Chris Lilly, still. this is my third LGM. This is my third LGM, and I must say this is an excellent conference and generally an excellent series. It's really great to come here and see the energy and the totally new projects I'd never heard of until I see a presentation and go, oh, that's cool, download that. So this is brilliant, actually, to come here. And I'm glad that we were able to co-host so we could... so I could get approval, travel approval to come here, among other things. Yeah, so what I do at W3C, I was actually one of the people who started Cascading Style Sheets. I was the first chair of that, so I'm still on the Cascading Style Sheets group. I kicked off an idea in 2001 to do CSS 2.1 to standardize the bits that really work, and unfortunately we're still doing it 10 years later, so there we go. Ship early and often not. But more interesting, the most recent group I'm on is the Web Fonts Working Group, so a new way of sending fonts over the web called WOF, Web Open Font Format. It's not a format, as we keep telling ourselves. But that's interesting, that's new stuff, and that actually lets you use either Libre fonts or use commercial fonts where the license is actually explicit and says you can do this. You can put the font on the web and let other people use it for viewing your website. That's something that's not actually been possible before. It's been possible in PDF. You can embed the thing in, but the web doesn't do embedding. It does linking. So it's different, and it needs different things. So it's interesting to see that happen finally 10 years after I really wanted it to. But at least it's working. So that's what I do at W3C. Leonard.
I'm Leonard Rosenthal from Adobe Systems, and my responsibilities at Adobe are around PDF. I'm basically the person at Adobe who's responsible for PDF as a language and a technology, and a big part of my doing that is to go out into the world and participate in various standards organizations to see that PDF and related technologies are adopted and utilized around the world. So SVG being a vector graphics format is extremely important to us, which is why I participate in this organization, in addition to having been involved with it back when it was still PGML at Adobe before we got involved with the W3C at the time. I also do color work, so I represent Adobe with the ICC. Other groups such as the European Telecommunications Standards Institute, but certainly my main work is with the ISO, the International Standards Organization, which is the group where PDF and its subsets have been standardized for over 10 years now, since 1999 was actually the first PDF international standard. And the one last thing I'll add before I'll pass the microphone on is just to echo what Doug said, which is about participation, and certainly in the SVG group, but also we've heard use of PDF and use of color and all sorts of other open standards in many, many of your projects, which is great. And as someone who spends his life doing open standards, that's wonderful to see that used across the board and as widely as it is in the Libre Graphics community. But I will echo Doug's words, participate. An open standard is not open if we don't get feedback from everyone. You know, otherwise, if it's a whole bunch, and honestly, if it's a whole bunch of commercial, you know, closed proprietary developers who are making the standard, you're not going to be happy with it, or you may not be happy with it. Take advantage of that. Take advantage of them being open standards and come and participate. Even if it's only on a mailing list and you can't make the meetings, that's still more participation than just not being involved at all and getting stuck with whatever we come up with. So please consider this a call to arms to please, please participate. And you talk to Doug, talk to myself, talk to any of us about how you get involved.
So I'm Doug Shepherds. I'm the I hack SVG web apps. Okay, Anthony.
Hi, I'm Anthony Grasso. I help represent Canon on the SVG working group. Canon, as a Japanese company, loves standards, and wherever possible, they will use an open standard rather than come up with their own proprietary one. So.
Talk about advanced composting or something. Tell me how pretty Sydney is this time of year.
Sydney is very pretty this time of year. I think we should have an LGM there sometime. I think he has it working now. Do you want to play Mary Had a Little Lamb?
No.
Okay.
It does work, that's all.
Yeah. This is why SVG has progressed so far, because we've got people like him on the groove. So Canon likes to use open standards wherever possible rather than use a proprietary one, and which is why we're here on the working group. In particular, Canon has interests on using vector graphics for 3D effects currently. I myself personally have an interest in compositing effects and filter effects in SVG, and so I sort of work on that area there. If you want to know sort of where the technology goes, who here in the audience has a Canon SLR that's about a year old, roughly, or newer? Hands up. See the hands? Oh, you guys are awesome. Yeah. In your camera there, you have an SVG renderer. So that's sort of where for the user interface. So that's sort of where the technology is used on our end. So, and I'll hand you over to Eric.
Hi. To those of you that don't know me, I'm Eric Dahlstrom, and I'm currently chairing the SVG working group. I have a co-chair as well, but he's on hiatus for a while, doing his is it doctoral thesis? Yeah.
Actually finishing up his PhD.
Yeah. So anyway, I do my work for Opera Software, so not an open source company. Although we do have some parts that are open source, like the Dragonfly debugging environment, which anyone can contribute to, which, by the way, is really handy for debugging SVG. So I encourage you to try that. I was the person that did the prototype implementation of the SVG engine in Opera. It was a couple of years back, and I think we've probably rewritten the whole thing, I don't know how many times, but every rewrite improves things quite a bit, so it's been fun to see it progress, and it's fun to see it getting faster, more stable, and more fully featured with every new release that goes out. So I'm doing more graphical type work at Opera, so I'm developing, I've been involved, for example, with the web font support as well, so rendering text and fonts and making sure they load fine. as well as doing lots of different graphics stuff for Canvas and SVG. Yep.
So, yes. So we only have a few minutes, I guess, but if there are any questions in the audience, maybe somebody could pop up now, or I can let Eric finish. Oh, I see Dave Crossland. Dave Crossland.
With regard to SVG fonts on the web, what's the kind of future of that? I mean, obviously WOF is a good format for, you know, especially non-Latin scripts, but SVG fonts has a lot of potential, I think.
So SVG fonts started as a... Shut the... Oh. SVG fonts started off as a compromise solution. The idea was that designers would do one of two ways. They would either assume that the font was on the client system and output text and be disappointed, or they would convert all their text to curves and retain the artistic intent, and it was no longer text, and you couldn't select it, you couldn't search on it, it was useless. So we wanted SVG fonts to be a middle ground. It's like, okay, convert to curves, remember where those curves came from, keep the text around. It was really that sort of solution, and particularly for mobile, where often the implementation doesn't have access to the system, it doesn't have fonts, or there is only one font installed. So if you wanted any sort of typographic variety, that's actually where SVG fonts was used a lot. Also, things like iTunes uses SVG fonts apparently a lot, oddly. So that's where SVG fonts was designed to do, and it had fairly minimal internationalization support. I mean, it was fully Unicode enabled. You can have a glyph for any Unicode character you want. But honestly, I mean, it had Arabic forms and it had a couple of linguistic things, but not very much. Whereas OpenType has got huge amounts of internationalization. Since SVG and whatever was started, it's really taken over the world. It's like it had lots and lots more features, and that's obviously the way the industry is going. That's the way the HTML browsers, HTML and CSS is going. So we want to use that. We want to capitalize on WOF. So for general text display in multiple languages, WOF is the way to go. But for those of you who remember PostScript, Type 3 fonts is essentially the way that you do the wild and wacky stuff that's like, you know, random numbers and weird stuff and doing anything you want that you can possibly draw in PostScript. It's that sort of thing that we think SVG fonts is more aimed towards. And also the dynamic aspect of SVG. SVG is responsive to events. It has animation. It has so if you want to do a font that stretches and moves around and jiggles and whatever, that's what SVG fonts is going to be good for. So we're trying to differentiate it so you use the appropriate tool for the job. That's essentially the future of the two formats.
The short answer is that neither Internet Explorer nor Mozilla is particularly interested in SVG fonts. So right now, that's probably a feature that's going to go into a module, and it may not be part of the core of SVG2. Although, the more people bring use case and requirements and tell the browser vendors, yes, we do want this feature, and yes, this can do things for us that WAF can't do, the more pressure that is put on them to actually support it.
Oh, get another. And another thing. So in Dave's talk, he had this thing of the center line and then using that to sort of generate the rest of the font by putting a nib across it. Well, that's a simple way to do it. You can do all sorts of other things where you're essentially saying, here's the skeleton, I'm stretching the skeleton various ways, I'm doing various things, I'm applying this set of processes to it. Imagine like your Python-generated type font. If you had an API to then get out the glyph outlines and shove them into the rendering, that would be an interesting way forward. And then it doesn't have to be implemented because you're essentially using this as part of your interactivity and you're generating content, which is then basic paths which the browsers can display.
Next question.
Yes, next question.
Just as a follow-up, if SVG fonts are going to be put in a separate module, I would suggest that the basic just path description is be kept in the SVG standard, and then
like we did with SVG,
the generic blocks of SVG as a separate module.
We will try to push that forward.
Question there.
Talking about use cases, I was particularly interested in something which I don't know if it makes sense for the W3C, but I really hate well, no, that's not nice to say, but I don't really like the box model, and I would like to use SVG to sort of bypass that and do my layouts in there. Is that, I don't know how, in to what extent that's possible with the current specification, or if what's, does make sense. Or
You could, you mean for HTML layout?
Yeah.
So previously, HTML and CSS was split up in one partition, and SVG was over another place. Yeah, I'll keep it short. Shut up. But with the integration that Doug was talking about, that means that you can do much more. You can use bits of CSS and parts of HTML and so on and so forth. So if you want to lay out your stuff differently, you're going to have some script to patch it together. But if you want to basically generate some SVG on the fly and stitch it into the document in the DOM and have it display like that, yeah, you can do that, absolutely.
So that is actually part of the integration with HTML5, is mixing SVG into HTML and HTML into SVG. In line both ways, and so that we're definitely looking at that. Mozilla's got some stuff, Opera's got some stuff, and Internet Explorer has said that they're really interested in that.
What I would love to see then, I guess, is like a kind of Inkscape that does that. I'm looking at you guys. I don't know if that would be possible. Then there really is the potential for having like a GUI way of dealing with web content, which does sort of not suck.
Any other questions?
One more.
So I have a question about kind of about web video, as well as how the free and open source community connects with what you guys do, and also corporate interests. With the web video whole debacle in the last few weeks, I mean, our friend here, he's like, no, we're not going to talk about the Adobe question. I think it would be interesting to hear your guys' take on that, and also how these different communities here at this conference, how they drive and or implement things that are already driven by corporations that create the standards, and then use organizations like W3C to move that agenda forward.
John, was there a question?
Yeah, I didn't get a question.
No, I just want to hear some comments about
that. Well, I'll take the second half of that. At least from my company, I can't speak for other commercial enterprises, but I can speak for my company. We work in various different ways with respect to open standards. One of them is, and to use an example, is what we did with PDF, which is we had a standard that we felt and the industry felt had reached maturity after almost 15 years of existence. And we felt it was time for us to relinquish control of that and turn it over to the world at large to drive it forward. So the initial release of that, ISO 32000 Part 1, is exactly what Adobe had done technically. But what's happened since then, over the last couple of years since it became a standard, is it's been driven entirely by the industry, and we've now received almost a dozen new features that'll be part of the next generation of PDF, which all came from various other organizations, countries, individuals, etc. So now it becomes this worldwide direction. So from our standpoint, we've developed the technology as far as we have. Another one is XMP, which is the metadata technology supported by many of the projects here. We just announced that we're turning that over to the ISO as well, and they've accepted it. So it's going to go as it exists today, because that's what's already in use around the world and in your projects and everything. And then the future will be driven by the people that participate. So our goal is start with what exists, and then let's see where the world is going to take it.
At W3C, we have a little bit of a different process. We don't, quote-unquote, rubber stamp specifications. We like SVG started as a submission from Adobe, a submission from Microsoft, and a few other small submissions. And we reworked those into something that everybody could agree through the consensus process. Sometimes things are really widely deployed, and so we actually do try to keep as much backwards compatibility. But where it doesn't make sense for the open web, that's where we change things. And SVG is sort of a product of a bunch of different companies doing things they already had and coming, and so that sort of, so we aren't ISO, but we aren't, but we do take submissions from our members, so it's related in that way. Anybody else? Or I think we are out of time.
Thank you very, very much.